Welcome to Bill Interrupted.
Are you out of your damn mind?
You get to drink from the fire hose!
This is an embarrassment, a disgrace!
What?
What's the matter, kid? You got wax in your ears?
Don't do it!
You gotta tear me apart!
Hello, and welcome to Bill Interrupted. This is the show where I get to do whatever I want while dealing with the constant antics of Jess. We can review movies, video games, and who knows what else. Episodes can be spooky, too oddly informative, to downright stupid. I am your host, Phil Allen, and I do welcome you to the show. Joining me is the lovely co-host, Jessica. Hello, hello,
hi.
Hello,
hi.
I did an echo effect.
Hello.
You hear that?
Yes.
Hello, hello.
Okay, that's enough.
So I challenged Jess, my lovely co-host, to do the intro. She could not do it.
No, I told him that if he can print it out for me, then I can do it. So maybe the next show,
you could say
I can do it.
Hello, and
hello.
Welcome to Jessica Interrupted. Jessica Interrupted.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Next time. Next
Jessica
time.
Interrupting. Ah. Japanese style?
I was going to say Mexican mouse.
Oh, Mexican? No, that'd be like...
Oh.
Hey, Fiesta, welcome to... Jessica. Jessica.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at doing multicultural impressions. It's, well, not one of my specialties, but a specialty at the same time, because I'm so bad at it. Get it?
Good one.
Well, this is much to do about nothing. We're going to sign off here. No, I'm just kidding. We're making moves here on Phil Interrupted. Can you do that part when we end?
We're making moves here on Phil Interrupted.
Yeah. Not a lot of pizzazz there.
You got to let me know.
We'll work on it.
Let me have more of my drink and I'll be able to.
We'll work on it. All right. So today's topic is actually a true crime story. We're going to dip back into that genre.
Yes. And interestingly enough, the other night we went to go watch TV and I went to put on a show on Dateline and it ended up being that case. So we quickly turned it off.
Yes, because I've had this one buried in my back pocket for a while. And we start to watch it and I go, wait a minute. This looks familiar. That guy. No, wait, you need to stop this. Stop this right now. And she didn't stop it. So I took a baseball bat. And I smashed the TV as hard as I could. And it shattered and exploded, so we couldn't watch it, just so we could save this podcast.
But I do have to say that this kind of intrigues me, because we watch Dateline all the time. Yeah. All the time. And it's very rare for Phil to pick out a case to do a podcast on. So the fact that...
Well, I didn't base it off Dateline.
No, I know you didn't, but I'm saying, like, this particular case interested you enough to want to do a podcast where we watch these kind of shows all the time.
Yeah.
So... It kind of intrigues me to see what's going on in this.
Yeah, I'm hoping this isn't one that we, like, a show we watched a long time ago and we're like halfway through and you're like, I remember this.
Well,
it could definitely happen.
The people that I saw on the TV did not look familiar
no?
to me.
Okay.
But you're also much better at realizing that we've watched them than I am. But I would like to watch it after
we gotta
do
watch
this
it
at
after.
Some point. Yeah. But
for sure.
Yeah, it kind of intrigues me as to what is so different. Because, I mean... Not that all the murder cases are the same, but
not
for something
close.
To really jump out at you to want to talk about on a podcast kind of intrigues me.
Well, I think, you know, we watch a lot of these different shows. It's not just like murder shows that I like. Like the other one we were watching, I think it was on Dateline as well, was basically like a con man.
I know. I just refer to them as murder shows because that's...
Yeah.
Even though it's everything else included that's in those like datelines
right,
and
right.
things
and
like that. I just call them murder shows.
Yeah, and they can overlap. Like
mm-hmm.
you can have a murdering con man or
mm-hmm.
someone who's running like a Ponzi scheme and stealing money from people. Like I just find it so fascinating that these people really think like, oh, this is the best way to make money or this is the best thing to do in this situation and I'm going to get away with it. It's like, you're really not. Like you're really
There's
not.
There's a lot of crazy people in this
most
world.
Of the time. I mean, I guess they do say most crimes are unsolved, but those are like random crimes. Like you're like running down the street and you like steal someone's purse, you know, like those kind of crimes go unsolved.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the true statistics are, but I'd like to believe most murder cases don't go unsolved. But I think it is pretty high, actually.
I think it is high, too. I think it was higher back in the day because there was less technology involved.
God, yeah.
But.
Like the 1600s, you could kill like 3,000 people. Nobody
yeah.
would even know.
Yeah, but now with like DNA and everything
cameras
like that.
Cameras are everywhere
yeah,
now.
It's
cameras
it's so
and you
different.
Forget you got the cell phone is like tracking you. I mean, there's so many different ways.
Which I still want to get a ring for our house, but...
A ring can catch you. The ring could catch you. A girl coming out of a well.
How many times have our neighbor like sent us things like, hey, just FYI, there's this car going down our street. Or, oh, hey, FYI, I saw, you know, people hanging out in the abandoned house across the street. Mm-hmm. Or
Richard Ramirez. You know, was
and dead, then the bear dead. That she caught on camera. Like, I want one of those now. So
we have a bear caught here?
There was a bear in the back. It looked like a bear in the video she had sent me. You were on the message too, and it was across the street.
Oh, more likely a cryptid because Bigfoot has been seen here.
Definitely looked like a bear.
Probably Bigfoot. Probably
could be.
It's a higher chance.
Yeah,
that it's Bigfoot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was a baby Bigfoot.
But anyway, there's just so much more technology out now than there was back then. So
let's
I
go
feel
back
like
to the Bigfoot. I think.
I think not.
Can we review the footage? Can we review the footage?
I don't remember if that was footage. On this phone or the other phone. Because I don't usually delete my text messages.
No. I'm going to go viral with this footage. Baby Bigfoot found in suburbia, New Jersey.
I think I had sent it to you.
We're really dragging here.
I know.
Not talking about the actual topic at all.
But go this, ahead.
You've intrigued me now. We're switching up the topic. This is now a paranormal cryptoid show.
Yep.
And our first one's going to be Baby Bigfoot found in suburbia, New Jersey, which is pretty much impossible. What are the what are the chances of that? Except this video proves that very fact. Let's see the footage. Roll the footage.
I can't find it. That must have been on the my old phone that crashed.
That crashed
mm-hmm.
and burned.
Yes. So
let's
go.
Let me be the one you call if you crash.
Little Savage Garden.
You crash your mind. Okay. Are you ready?
Yep.
This is going to leave you in suspense a bit. So
okay.
We can stop at times. To discuss what we think is going to happen or what is, you know, what you think.
Like, so you already know what's going to happen.
Well, I'm the game master. I'm the host. Okay. Of course I know what's going to happen.
All right. So let's go.
On June,
I can do without that.
On June 29th, 2021, Omar Job, an enrollment coordinator at the Madison Area Technical College in Madison, Wisconsin, received the phone call. It was one of those phone calls that anyone who's ever worked in customer service knows all too well. Someone calls in with a problem that they need rectified, and the more you try to help them out, the more it becomes obvious that they were the one doing something wrong on their end. You try to calmly explain to them why you can't give them exactly what they're looking for, but you're only making them more and more frustrated.
Love the hand movements, I say.
Yeah, I'm doing hand movements.
Really here. Getting into it. I'm trying to concentrate here, and all I see is the hand going.
Doing a proper presentation.
Okay.
Being graded on this presentation. It's mm-hmm. like a report. So any questions on that?
No, I'm okay. trying to listen.
The man Omar was speaking to that day was Chandler Halderson, and that he was having trouble getting a copy of his school transcript and had not yet received his diploma after graduating the previous semester. Chandler...
Can I just stop you?
Yeah.
It's not Chandler. It's Chandler.
Chandler. It has a D in it.
Chandler. It's like almost kind of like a silent D a little bit. It's Chandler.
Chandler?
It's not Chandler.
So wasn't there a Chandler on like Friends or something?
Yeah, Chandler.
Chandler? All right, I'll try.
Chandler. Well, I'm saying the D.
So there is no D.
It's like it's there, but...
Chandler.
It's not Shan, it's Chandler.
Chandler.
Oh, Jesus, God. Okay, just keep going with Chandler.
Can I call him Chan?
Chan.
No, this is going to be Asian.
Chandler.
And just, you know, secrets of reveal, he's not Asian.
Let it flow.
Chandler had been... Is that better?
No.
Chandler. Chandler had been trying to use the online portal on the college's website... But every time, it would not complete his request. He then said that he had been emailing back and forth with a couple of school administrators, Elisa Brandt and Daniel Spieth, and had been getting nothing but excuses from them. Omar did not recognize either of those names.
It's a little sus.
So to get to the bottom of this problem, Omar looked up Chandler's file on his end. The first problem he saw was that Chandler still had an outstanding tuition balance of over $2,000. The second issue is that the system showed that Chandler had not only graduate, had not had, you messed me up.
Chandler? So he went from Chandler to Chandler. Jesus Christ.
Nope.
Chandler.
No one's going to be able to follow together. This. No one's going to be able to follow this because all you want to do is interrupt. Why don't you just get your own show? Okay. That's what we talked about before.
I'm done.
Chandler had not only not graduated, he hadn't taken any classes at the school since the fall of 2020. Now remember, this call is on June 29th, 2021. No classes since the fall of 2020.
Clearly you didn't graduate.
This should have been the point of the phone call where you would have expected Chandler to go nuclear. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did it.
Wow. You would have expected him to go crazy, but instead, he calmly said, "Okay, that should do it then. Okay, thank you for your help," and hung up the phone. Why are you laughing again? You really disrupted my flow, bitch.
Keep on going.
Little did Omar know that this one strange phone call was what might have set off a horrible chain of events. Dun, dun, dun. Chandler Halderson seemed to have a lot going for him. He was 23 years old, a recent college graduate, and had been working remotely at home for an insurance company. He also volunteered with the local police department as part of their scuba search team. He was still living at home with his parents, but he soon had plans to move to Florida with his girlfriend so that he could accept a job offer from SpaceX. Oh, now she's getting texts. Once again, interrupting the show. You should have just put it on airplane mode. Let me guess, it was a child that's upstairs.
No, it was actually Mom.
Oh. Hey, Mama. I'm going to give her a call live on the show. All right, so any questions on that?
No.
He's 23, college graduate, yep. Insurance company worker, and he's a...
Remote.
A scuba search team helping out the police.
And he's, do that job.
He's got apparently a sick-ass job, SpaceX.
Yeah, he sounds like he's got a lot going for him.
Yeah, SpaceX is like, you know, the private NASA, so pretty good stuff. Unfortunately, in early June, he had taken a nasty spill down a flight of stairs that ended with a concussion.
He didn't die,
which is shocking. Most people do. Mm-hmm. It ended with a concussion and required him to wear a neck brace. He was suffering from headaches, tingling in his extremities, and frequently felt lightheaded. The doctors had told Chandler that if these symptoms worsened, he might have to go in for brain surgery. He was also strongly discouraged from any long-distance travel. Hold on, let me flip the page.
Was this a novel? I could have just brought down my book. A book club on here. That's what I'm going to start for a podcast.
Okay, why are you whispering?
Sorry.
So he was not supposed to travel until he had fully recovered.
Yep.
This resulted in him canceling the move to Florida and losing the SpaceX job.
Oh, that's
damn,
a bummer.
Damn falling down the steps. So, on June 1st, Chandler's parents, Bart and Krista Halderson, isn't that cool, Bart?
Bart, yeah, that's not a name you hear often.
Eat my shorts. They left on a trip to their cabin in Langlade County, which is a three-hour drive north of their home in Windsor, Wisconsin. They left early in the morning before Chandler had woken up. They were picked up by a couple of friends who were going on the trip with them. However, Chandler could not recall who these friends were. That Sunday morning, Krista sent her son Chandler a text message informing him that they had decided to stick around and catch the 4th of July parade and that they would be back home on Monday night or Tuesday morning at the latest. When the couple had not returned on Wednesday morning, which would be July 7th, Chandler filed a missing person report with the police. With the exception of his age and living with his parents and the missing persons report, and maybe even the fall down the stairs, well, it turns out that every other part of this story was a lie. You remember any of this? Have you ever seen this in a Dateline or anything?
Okay. I feel like with the name Chandler, I would remember it because there's certain episodes that we've watched that I remember names. I'm bigger on faces. I'm much better at remembering people by faces, but a name like Chandler, I would have remembered.
So it doesn't take too much to figure out, but you may have already figured out that Chandler hadn't actually graduated college.
Well, yeah, clearly.
He was not working remotely for the insurance company. That was just an excuse for him to sit alone in his room all day playing video games.
Okay, Casket.
And when his parents came downstairs, he would pretend, he would jump on the computer and pretend like he was doing insurance stuff.
Okay.
So he faked him out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He wasn't even a certified scuba diver. And the local police did not even have a scuba search team.
It's quite a lie.
Right? Why would you do that? That's ridiculous. And surprise, surprise, the SpaceX job, well, that never actually existed. But he still had plans to move to Florida and take his girlfriend with him. What he planned to do once he got there and didn't have a job, well, we'll never know. But you could say that the neck injury really saved his butt in that lie. The neck injury was a lie as well. He may have suffered from a mild concussion, perhaps, but given the web of lies that had been discovered, many suspect that he faked the whole thing. He did, in fact, go to the hospital, and after checking with his doctor, authorities said that the doctor did give him a neck brace, but only as a precaution to wear if he felt that he needed it. So Chandler wore it all the time to milk every bit of sympathy out of everybody around him. Sound like anybody we know? There's some people in my life that I know that do things similar to this.
Yep.
And you listening out there may also know somebody in your life that does things like this.
Yep.
So it was ballsy in and of itself for Chandler to have created this massive... What?
Why did you go back to Chandler?
Oh, I got it wrong? Sorry. I'm going to go back and forth.
Yep.
It was ballsy in and of itself for Chandler to have created this massive web of lies, but what he had to do to maintain it for so long was next level. His parents had started getting suspicious after they noticed that he had been working, in quotations, so hard at that insurance company all the time, but Chandler was still broke, like, all the time. He blamed it all on a glitch in the company's payroll software. And as soon as they got it cleared up, he would be receiving all of his back pay. Chandler would create fake email addresses for his fake employers and basically correspond with himself to back up his lies whenever his parents would ask to see proof.
That's pretty nifty.
This dude's got some issues.
Yeah.
That
takes a lot.
Right?
To, like, make fake accounts and then try to keep up on them and try to make that's so much work in itself.
Right, why not just get a job?
Right.
Right? Well, it wasn't just that, honey. He did the same thing with college. Alyssa Brandt and Daniel Spieth, the two school administrators that Chandler had been emailing with in regards to his transcripts and diploma, had both been figments of his imagination. Chandler even went so far as to buy burner phones and included the numbers in the email signatures. He wasn't just letting it go to voicemail if his parents called either. He even took calls with his parents pretending to be these people using another voice. Chandler was practically putting more effort into faking everything than he would if he had just went to school or got an actual job.
Yeah, really?
What's wrong with this idiot?
Trying to keep your story straight, too. That's a lot.
It is. Now, if all of this seems a little at odds with the story of the June 29th phone call with Omar Jobe, it's because Omar was not speaking with Chandler Holderson that day. Bart Holderson, his father, had been growing suspicious of the emails his son had been forwarding to him about the school and his job. No surprise, Chandler was pretty sloppy. For example, this Alyssa Brandt character from the school couldn't decide in her emails whether or not her last name ended in a T. So some of the emails ended with Brand and some of them ended in Brant.
Hmm.
I think you would spell your name right.
Yeah.
Also, Tom Selznick was one of the fake people that Chandler had created from the insurance company. However, he listed his title as Human Recourses Specialist, not Human Resources. You know what it almost sounds like when you get those like spam emails?
Yes.
They misspell things.
Yes, and that's one thing that, I mean, we get those things all the time of what to look for and all those
yeah,
little,
at our work. You gotta little, look for phishing.
Little emails that you have to watch these videos on and different phishing things that are going on. And I do that all the time, which backfires on me sometimes because I'll see something and I don't believe it until I actually go to a website, like the place's website. I just like when our Fulton card, every time that those have been flagged for, oh, did you spend blah, 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 blah.
You think
like,
they're fake.
Oh, it's flagged.
Yeah.
So then I always end up calling the number on the back of my card.
Right.
And even with Netflix. So I get an email from Netflix saying that my payment information is incorrect, that you have to go in there and update it. So I'll see the email come through, but I don't believe it. This is the perfect example. Don't believe it. I will not click a link in an email. I go over to my Netflix app. Then I see it pops up there that my payment, and every time this has happened, was been when we got flagged and our account got shut down and we have to add a new card. So they've all been legit, but I am so like into that I don't believe anything. I don't even believe the real stuff.
Yeah. Well, because they can look really, really real these days. Obviously, some of the sloppier ones have these misspellings or...
Oh, you've had some really great ones.
Yeah, I have. Like, I don't know how
I don't get them as much as you do.
Yeah, I get on these crazy lists somehow and then I gotta like be like unsubscribe, stop, block.
Usually pretty much everything that comes to me is legit, but I still don't believe it. Yeah. You have some crazy ones.
So this bozo, he's sloppy though.
Yeah.
He's sloppy, right? So he's putting in all the effort, but still not like all the effort he really needed. Like still stupid, basically. Bart pretended to be Chandler to get some answers from the school himself. After that phone call, Bart told Chandler that he made an in-person appointment at the school for July 1st, and that both of them would go down there to get everything straightened out. The last thing Bart had texted his son was around 2:15 p.m. on July 1st. He wrote, "I'm ready when you are." Shortly thereafter, the health app on Bart Holderson's iPhone stopped recording data. So that's kind of suspicious, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's ready to call him out.
Yep.
He already knows he's lying. And his son, he knows, is never going to admit it. So he's like, all right, let's drive down to the school. So he's really going to put him on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really put him on the spot. Chandler then texted his mom, "Dad's phone has died. Text or call and get soda on your way home. I've got an extra hour of work." According to cell phone tower data, Krista Holderson arrived home around 5:12 p.m. Now, the entire reason that Chandler Holderson found himself in this mess in the first place was that his flimsy house of lies had started to crumble around him. Where do you think this is going, hon?
I think he killed his parents.
Is that what you think?
That's what I think.
Hmm. Everybody out there, what's your guess? We'll wait. It's bad podcast lingo, Phil. What are you doing? As the police began their missing persons investigation, one of the first things the police did was go check out the cabin that he said that his parents were going to for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It's the first thing I would do.
Yep.
Because at first, you know, yeah, sure, absolutely. Let's go try and find him.
Right.
When they arrived at the cabin, they found that the place looked like nobody had been there for some time.
Hmm.
There was a fallen tree across the driveway, and the grass was overgrown. The cabin itself was locked up, and once they made it inside, there were zero signs of recent activity. Police also became suspicious about the text message that Krista had sent her son on July 4th. Saying that they were going to stick around to see the parade. She said that the 4th of July parade was on a Sunday, but the town that they were in held its parade on Saturday. Dun dun dun.
Hmm.
Sloppy again.
Yep.
On Monday, July 5th, 2 days before reporting his parents missing, Chandler had called his girlfriend's mother to ask if he could come over to swim at their pool. She said she was going to be away from home most of the day, but he was welcome to come over. Why are you looking at
How
me
How old
weird?
Is... He's college age.
He's 23.
23 years old? Why are you texting your girlfriend's mother? Why wouldn't you just text your girlfriend? That's weird.
I don't know. Maybe he was close with the mother and just figured he'd ask her or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, there's some of Connor's friends that, like, one in particular that I have no problem saying, hey, dude, if you want to sleep over tonight, you can. Because my kid's still sleeping, and I know you're coming over, so. But, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as adults, I feel like that's different.
And maybe the girlfriend was, like, working or something, and that's maybe why he asked the...
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
So when she returned home, it was odd that she didn't see Chandler, and the cover of the pool was still on. However, she did spot his SUV parked back near the wooded area at the back of her property, and the back hatch was open. When Chandler emerged from the woods...
No.
When Chandler emerged from the woods, he appeared rather despondent. When he did finally get into the pool, he didn't really swim, but rather splashed water all over himself like he was kind of just washing himself off. His girlfriend's mother didn't think much of it because she knew that he had been going through a lot recently and didn't really want to pry. But when she received word about the missing persons report, she remembered this strange incident and called the police.
I feel like I'm getting something here. I feel like
you
buried the parents in the backyard there and then
sat
went in the
back
pool.
So far and you're like, wait a minute. Okay. You think you're onto something, huh? When the police arrived at the property, one of the first things they observed was a flock of turkey vultures twerking overhead.
Twerking.
They were circling overhead, which is something obviously they only do when they catch the scent of rotting flesh. When going into the woods, police found what the vultures were looking for. Under a pile of branches, they found a human torso with bullet wounds in the back.
Oh.
It had no head, no arms, and the legs were cut off at mid-thigh, and it was still wearing pants. Whoever did this had dismembered the victim while they were fully clothed.
Wow.
Also on the property, they found an SKS rifle stashed away under some wood by the barn, a blood-stained tarp in the woods, and in an old water tank, a bunch of cutting tools, scissors, and saw blades also covered in blood. DNA tests later matched the blood to both Bart and Krista Halderson. Chandler was arrested shortly thereafter. Dude, that's freaking hardcore.
That's horrible.
That's so hardcore. No head?
That's horrible.
Where's the head?
Like, I've definitely...
Thought about killing people and tried it?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. No, but we've definitely seen shows where kids have killed their parents.
Oh, definitely.
But this is, like, the first time I've heard one where they, like, dismembered them, too. Like,
yeah.
They killed them and then dismembered them. Usually, they shoot them or stab them, and then the body's still there in its entirety, but I think this is the first time I've ever heard of dismemberment.
And to go to his girlfriend's house to stash all this stuff, what did he think they were just... Oh, the girlfriend did it. Like, what was he thinking?
Right.
And he brought all this other crap. The gun, a bloodstained tarp, this other stuff.
He's a messy person.
Isn't that crazy? Let's see here. So, yeah. He was arrested. With his arrest, those who had witnessed some of his bizarre behavior over the past week or so started coming forward to share their experiences. One of his neighbors told the police how he had knocked on their door inquiring about footage from their security cameras. The guy's an idiot.
Wow.
At the time, they chalked it up to him having just reported his parents missing and was curious if the cameras had caught anything going on at his house that had to do with the parents. But he did get a little nervous when they told him that the cops had already retrieved that footage. Thought he could beat him to the punch. Chandler's girlfriend had told police about how she had wanted to hang out with him 2 days after his parents had disappeared. But he said that he was too busy with the long list of chores his parents had left for him. Chores seemed a little out of character for him, but we now know that he did have a sudden need to do some deep cleaning. Mm. So when they did make plans to get together the next day, she asked him if there was anything he needed her to get for him. He asked for hydrogen peroxide and to borrow her Swiffer wet jet. Later, <Wow. laughs> later she noticed that he had his location turned on in Snapchat. And instead of being at home like he said he was, the app showed him near the Wisconsin River instead. So she was even a little suspicious, right? She took a screenshot of his location at the time. And when police searched that area by the river, they found what was later identified as Krista Holderson's complete right leg and her left foot. They also found Bart Holderson's torso, and they were the only body parts ever recovered at that location. Another one of Chandler's neighbors testified that on July 1st, he had noticed the strong smell of wood burning in their neighborhood. And after a few minutes, the smell changed to what he described as smelled like a barbecuing a large pork. Security camera footage from the neighbor's house had a view of the front of Chandler's house. The footage showed a flickering light in the living room, consistent with that of a fireplace. At around 3 a.m., the light got very, very bright, as if the fire started to get out of control, only to then go out rather suddenly. From what investigators could tell, while trying to incinerate his parents' remains in the fireplace, Chandler failed to account for the fact that when fat renders over a fire, it becomes flammable. Based on the burn marks around the fireplace and a broken glass panel on the fireplace screen, it appears that the fire almost escaped into the house. It is believed that while putting out the fire, Chandler had cut his foot on the shattered glass, which is why he asked his girlfriend for the hydrogen peroxide. A total of 230 bone fragments were retrieved from the fireplace's ash trap. It is believed that after the fireplace broke, Chandler's little hiking trips through the woods became Plan B. As soon as Chandler was arrested, he invoked his right to remain silent and hasn't said a thing about the murders ever since. In total, it only took 32 hours from the moment that he filed the missing persons report for him to be arrested. Any thoughts, concerns?
It's very sloppy compared to some of these other shows that we watch.
Super sloppy.
So sloppy.
But also really sick.
What a sick fuck.
So, like, what? Yeah, that's a good description.
Yeah, it's a sick fuck. Like, seriously. Like I said, I've never... never heard a case where the kid, the child, he's not a child, but still he's their child.
He's a young adult, 23, yeah.
A kid kills their parents. Okay, we've seen shows on that. They usually get shot. They usually get stabbed. This is the first time I've heard about dismemberment. Now, not only did he dismember them, but he's also burning them. Like, those are your parents.
He's really cruel.
He's cold. He's heartless. He is.
Yep, you're right, exactly right, which is why this blew me away when I was reading this case, which is why I wanted to bring it. I'm like, what? He, no remorse.
No.
He's clearly some sort of a sociopath, narcissist, whatever you want
to
call it.
Because how could you do that to somebody? Because I feel like most of the cases that we watch, like, even if they don't have too much remorse after they kill their parents by stabbing or shooting, they left it at that. They didn't take it any more steps farther, where now it's like...
He burned them.
Yeah.
He cut them into pieces. He threw them into rivers. He threw them into... you know, shallow graves. Like, the only thing worse he could have done is, like, turn into a cannibal or something. Like, I mean,
yeah,
he really doesn't have a lot of room to go, to go any further, right?
Yeah,
this is about as low as it can go.
This is horrible.
And it's an
horrible.
And, you know, we don't know, at least I don't know, like, about the family. Were they bad parents? Did they abuse him? There's nothing said about that anywhere.
I was going to touch on that, too. Like, I don't know what kind of parents they were, but, like,
He has another brother who's perfectly fine, or at least was perfectly fine.
They had to have been somewhat, like, they seemed to have been, like, supportive. Like, oh, okay, you're working. Oh, you need me to pick this up for you, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Like,
and for him to just, like, build all these lies, and then when he's getting caught on them, his answer is, I gotta kill you people, and then no one will still figure that out.
Like, I get kids get angry at their parents. Like, I know Aiden and Connor have gotten angry at me, but I don't think they would ever do anything like that. Like,
I would hope not.
Most humans don't have that
cold and callous.
Yeah. Callous.
Thank you.
That's really cruel. That's, like, scary.
You want to hear the rest?
Oh, I thought that was it.
Well, now he's at the trial.
Okay.
Chandler's entire defense strategy really boiled down to, how can any of us really be sure of anything? That's such a bad defense. They just questioned everything. Are you really sure that's what happened? It reminds me of The Room. Can you really trust anybody? His lead attorney got things off to a great start by mispronouncing Chandler's name as Chander a couple of times during her opening statements. So how bad was his defense? Well, if you've watched enough true crime documentaries, you can see how guilty somebody is by how creatively their lawyer defines reasonable doubt for the jury.
Yep.
Here is an actual quote from the defense counsel speaking to the jury. Be sure to look for what you're not told, because that's evidence just as much as any evidence is.
Wait, what?
Repeat Be that? Sure to look for what you're not told, because that's evidence just as much as any evidence is.
It's bullshit.
I know sometimes things are left out, but that's not a defense.
No.
That's not a defense. They're just like, well, are you sure you believe everything you're being told?
Yeah, what are we not being told?
Yeah.
Like,
remember, there are things you're not being told. So just, that's evidence too. So, I'd be like, but it's not evidence because nothing's being told.
So if we know all these facts, what is it else we don't know?
Mm.
Has he done something else? What else is there?
Well, he's innocent, obviously.
Yeah.
It only took the jury 2 hours to unanimously find him guilty in what? Yeah, unanonymously? What are you laughing?
Nope, just keep going.
To find him guilty in March of 2022, and he was given the maximum sentences allowed on all charges. 2 counts each of first-degree intentional homicide,
good,
which carried life sentences without the possibility of parole. Mutilating a corpse, 7 years and 6 months. Hiding a corpse, 7 years and 6 months. And providing false information about a missing person, 3 years. All sentences will be served concurrently. Chandler Halderson's lawyers never called any witnesses in his defense, least of all him, which, one, A, really isn't uncommon in a case as heinous as this one, and two, B, I don't know why I did it like that, is given everything that we've learned about him so far, swearing to tell the truth may be, well, pretty much impossible for him. The only thing that Chandler said in court came during his sentencing hearing. Your Honor, I want to take this opportunity to state my intention to appeal my convictions. If there are any lawyers listening and willing to take on my appeal, please reach out to me. It's not that I do not have feelings. It's that I was warned to not show them due to the scrutiny of this case. Thank you. And that's it.
This dude's fucked up.
That's a really cold ending, too. He didn't... Obviously,
which makes me, like... How did he get a girlfriend? How long has he been with this girlfriend?
Was she hot?
Like
that's the question I need to know.
I don't know. Like,
no, I'm just kidding. It's a lot to take in. Was there some twists and turns you maybe didn't expect there?
Yeah. Now I'm really looking forward to that episode.
Of Dateline?
Yeah.
Right? To see the actual people.
I want to see what this dude looks like. I want to see what the girlfriend looks like. I want to see...
I think that episode just came out recently, too. So if you guys are out there...
I usually click on a new one.
Yeah. Yeah. Chandler Holdersen. He's a psycho. He's a sick, sick individual.
Yeah.
You can do that to your parents. You can do that to anybody.
Yep.
No regard for their life over something so stupid. If you had told your parents, look, guys...
I'm doing well in college, or...
I'm so sorry.
Something.
I really screwed up. I don't have the insurance job. I lied to you guys. I was scared. I was lied. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to work. I'm a bum. Well, that's a chance to redeem yourself. Everybody's screwed up. I didn't want to get a job when I was younger. I get it. Like, find a way to fix things. There's always another path. Not, oh no, I'm going to get busted in my lies. So therefore, I'm going to kill my parents and then start lying about that. And nobody will ever figure it out. The police won't figure it out. Nobody will figure it out. I'm so great at covering my tracks. Dude, you left like fat burns in your living room from the fireplace. Like bone fragments. Didn't even take them out of the fireplace.
And most parents, we're not going to be happy. I'm not happy with the situation. We're going to fix it. We're going to try to fix it. But I would prefer my kids being honest with me than lying to me.
Correct. Well, how many times have you met other parents who say, oh, like my kid is like, you know, so-and-so old and still lives at home. I really wish
they
would
it all the time.
Move out, you know.
Like as a parent, you're going to take care of your... I mean, if my kid is, you know, there's different circumstances where I'd be like, all right, you need to get your stuff. You need to get out. You need to get your life together.
Yeah, you're 45.
But most parents are like, all right, you know, you're still young, especially 23. Like, you're still young.
Just very stupid.
Stay here for a little bit. Like, let's try to find a job or let's try to go back to school. Let's try to do something. Even though we're not happy with the situation because now you're an adult and you should be on your own. We're going to support you and we're going to try to help you.
Which they did for so long until it was obvious to them that he was just lying and taking advantage of them. And they wanted to correct the situation and call him out on it to be like, look, we caught you, dude. We caught you. That's what his dad was going to do to him at the school.
That's where he should have just been like, okay, like, I'm sorry. Yes, I lied. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. And then it's like, how do we fix this? How do we fix this situation? What can we do to help you? And, you know, what are you going to try to do?
That's where you have the conversation. You say, son, I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, exactly. I've said that before. Like, I'm not angry with you. I'm really disappointed.
Yeah. You really let me down. I thought you were raised better than this. What are you thinking?
I literally just said that to Zoe several weeks ago at camp because she did some things at camp that I was not happy about. And she gets in the car and the first thing she goes, because she saw my face.
Yeah, you know
what? You mad? And I go, no, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. Because that's not how you're supposed to act, and you know better. And then she got very upset.
I remember that, because I woke up in the middle of the night, and she was holding a knife over you. I remember that, yeah.
No, she just stands by your side of the bed in the middle of the night while you're sleeping.
Ew, and then she threw up that one time. You may have heard that story on the Tornado Outbreak podcast. Yep. Opened my room at like 1 a.m. It was like, Dad? Projectile vomit. It was awful. Exorcist scene.
And the only other crazy experience we had was, well, Aiden had night terrors, but the first time you witnessed one of his night terrors, you were terrified.
Oh, I'm gonna kill him.
You slept with a baseball bat under our bed ever since, and you locked our door at night for a couple
gotta,
nights.
Got to protect myself.
It's like he's like 8 years old. He's not going to come kill us. It was a night terror.
Foaming at the mouth. It's a goddamn devil child.
Yeah.
I will clock a bitch
if I
have to.
He was like 7 or 8. He was young. He was like a little bit older than Zoe is.
I was like, get away from me, bitch. Boom.
How are you so calm? I go, because I've been dealing with this for years now. This is what happens.
We need cameras in that damn room all the time.
You wanted to lock his door and keep him inside.
Lock the
room.
Door, yeah, from the outside so he can't get out.
Phil was terrified.
I almost like shuttered it up with like wood, you know, like put a bunch of 2x4s across the door. And we're just like a small little opening where he can like throw some food in. Some like raw meat, and he's like,
God.
It was insane.
That was a pretty bad one, but I mean, he was fine. It's not gonna hurt anybody. I hope not.
I just choked on my own tongue. Like Exorcist. Did you hear that? It was all right. Well, I think we've wrapped up here. We're getting off on a tangent, but crazy story. We will go watch it on Dateline, so
yes,
we'll see
we
that there. But guys, I do hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you want to send me an email about this case or any other one, send it to felloninterrupted@gmail.com. Jesse, ready to do the outro?
Peace out.
Silence is bad on a podcast. Do the outro. Oh,
all right,
come on.
So,
you already forget?
I don't... Did you say something about plugs?
We're making moves here on Phil Interrupted, and we will catch you next time.
We're making moves here on Phil Interrupted, and we will catch you next time. Peace out!
When the police arrived at the property, one of the first things they observed was a flock of turkey vultures circling.
Circling.
They were twerking overhead.
Twerking.